Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Also, writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com, where you can check out a lot of my work. Also, got an article over there right now up on the Pelicans' small lineup, their identity. That was, you know, something we talked a lot last week here on Locked On Pelicans about. So go give it a read if you haven't already. But today, we're going to be focused on the trade deadline, on fake trades, hypothetical trades, trades that might make some sense, why the Pelicans might do these deals. As I mentioned yesterday, I'm part of the basketballinsiders.com trade deadline experiment, we're calling it maybe, simulation project. I don't know if there's really a name, where there's a writer who's going to pretend to be the GM of each team. I'm taking over for the Pelicans. We've had some interesting trade discussions. And I'll let you guys in on it. You kind of get inside the war room here, the war room being my living room, but still counts. It counts as a war room. I've got the blinds drawn. It's dark. You know, I'm at the table, at the head of a table in a big, you know, kind of desk chair. Got my hands gripped on the sides trying to take this seriously as people send me emails and I email them back. So, yeah, it's definitely an experience doing this with, you know, 29 other people plus someone coordinating it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of articles and different things coming out about it after the fact. But we'll get inside my head on that, which is hopefully inside Del Demp's head. And now all of a sudden we've got like a Bean John Malkovich situation going on here. And we're a couple of layers in and I don't even know what's going on anymore. Also, it's a game day. Pelicans on the road in Toronto taking on the Raptors. Third place in the Eastern Conference, the Raptors are, but they've been struggling recently. I'm going to preview that game for you guys in the second half of the podcast, get you set up for that one tonight. Hopefully the Pelicans can get a win, get back on track. This is a tough three-game road trip for them. Play in Toronto, then the Celtics, then the Wizards, or not the Celtics, sorry. Taking on Toronto, then the Pistons, then the Wizards. Not going to be easy. Those are all tough teams. You know, you'd be happy with one of two, but that's going to keep you, or one, going one and two, but that's not really going to keep you in the playoffs. So, not a good thing there. So, we're just going to kind of jump right into everything. Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans is available on iTunes. It is available on Audioboom, on Stitcher, wherever podcasts are, you can get it. It comes to you guys 5 days a week, the only podcast diving this deep on the Pelicans, talking about what you want to hear, what you want to know about your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans. So make sure you're subscribing to it. If you can rate it, 5 stars is always good, unless it's out of 10. Do it 5 stars, though. If it's out of 5, give it the max. Follow it on Facebook. It's at Locked On Pels. Tweet me your questions. I answer them on here. You know, don't forget it's also on Facebook. Give it a like, give it a share. Only good things. And also, you know, if your company is interested in advertising here on Locked On Pelicans, and that's what keeps this podcast free, you know, if you're interested in a demographic of men between the ages of 18 to 54, this is a good spot for you. You know, the audience is 97% male, and 79% of our audience is between the ages of 18 to 44. That's the ideal demographic. And recent surveys have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more willing to consider purchasing products they learned about from podcasts. And given equal price and quality, 60% prefer to purchase from companies that advertise on their favorite podcasts. And we're pretty discerning here. We're not just going to throw anyone on here. You want to make sure, you know, your company is going to be the right fit. It gives you a degree of credibility with our listeners. You guys know that, you know, it's something I would personally use. I've talked about SeatGeek and how I use it. And it's a great resource. It's a great way to reach out to people. The rates are incredibly reasonable. And you become part of the larger, you know, Locked On podcast network. So if anyone's interested in that, email me. It's jake@bourbonstreetshots.com, bourbonstshots.com. Pretty simple, so let me know. So basketballinsiders.com, like I said, they're doing this. Let's call it an experiment because it's kind of fun and a simulation where there's a writer for each team and they are the GM. And we have basically until Friday to make deals to try. I think it's Friday, maybe a little bit later, to make some deals to try and trade. You know, I guess, and it's up to each writer or GM how they want to approach it. The way I'm looking at it is, if I were Dell Demps, what deals would I be trying to make? And that's going to factor in, you know, where the Pelicans are in the playoff race. You know, 11th in the Western Conference, about three games, you know, out of. And that might change. Three games might change depending on who won or lost tonight. I haven't even looked at the scores. You know, it's going to depend on where the Pelicans are in the playoff standings. It's also going to depend on what I, as Dell Demps, think my job security is. You know, maybe it's better to tank, get a high lottery pick, go from there. But if you're going to be fired, there's no point in tanking. So the way I look at it is, rather than being sellers, Pelicans are buyers. And we're going to try and figure out something to do. So I have a few priorities and things I've kind of thought about are my goals here as temporary GM of the Pelicans. And, you know, the first one is you got to add some talent that can maybe get us over this hump. And I'm going to say us here because I am the GM of the Pelicans in this case. That's going to get us over the hump. That's going to get the Pelicans over the hump and get this franchise into the playoffs. Paul Millsap's a name that jumps to mind. You know, Serge Ibaka could be a guy who would certainly make a difference. But we don't know for sure, you know, if those guys are going to be available or if the Pelicans can afford them. In conjunction with trying to get a bit of a difference maker and adding some overall talent to this team is you've got to have some future planning so that you're not stuck in this position again next year's trade deadline, which is potentially going to happen. And so it's trying to shed Omer Asik's contract without taking on long-term salary. It's about, you know, making sure you can figure out what to do here with Jrue Holiday. It means, you know, don't necessarily trade the first-round pick for no reason. So there's, you know, that's kind of the other one here. And the third one is, of course, just don't take on long-term salary that hinders cap flexibility. So everyone's on a big email chain. We've all been emailing each other trying to figure it out. So I reached out to the Magic, and I don't have their names in front of me. I feel really bad about this, but as I write about it and we talk about it more later in the week, I'll give these guys credit. Also, I probably shouldn't let them in on my mindset, but who knows if they're listening or not. But anyway, I did reach out to the Magic to see about Serge Ibaka's availability, offering maybe something built around Tyreke Evans and Langston Galloway, or if they were interested, Tim Frazier. Came back and said they're getting a lot of interest for Serge Ibaka, which, you know, makes sense. You also got to do, you know, worry a little bit, though. He is going to be an unrestricted free agent, and he's probably going to be getting close to a max deal. I don't know if he'll get a full max, but it should be kind of close. So if I were the Pelicans, I'd be worried about that. But if you're trading Evans and Galloway and Ibaka walks at the end of this season, you're not too worried. It's not like you gave up, you know, a big asset in Evans. He was an expiring anyway. Galloway's nice and he's cheap-ish. But, you know, again, if he's not on the team, I don't think you're too upset, though he's a nice piece to have. But to have Ibaka, who could certainly springboard this team into the playoffs, even for a short-term rental, It's to me, as the GM of the Pelicans, would have been worth it, especially if you're only giving up a second round pick and not the first, which I don't think I would have included in that. That first round pick will be, if it gets moved, is going to be at least included for people I think are going to stay long term. So moving on to another deal that got proposed, and one I'm likely going to say no to. Well, there were a few, really. So the Bulls GM reached out and asked if I had any interest in Taj Gibson or Robin Lopez. And given the Pelicans' front court being kind of, not crowded, but I just don't see Lopez necessarily fitting in there right now and what you'd have to give up to get him. All of a sudden, you're going to be thin in the backcourt, heavy in the front court, and I think the Pels just need help overall right now. So for Taj Gibson throughout, trade Quincy Pondexter, Alexi Ajinsa, but I'm going to need to throw in the 2017 first rounder with top 10 protections for 2017 and 2018. And if it's not conveyed by 2018, it turns into a second round pick. Taj Gibson, you know, is a guy who plays like a fringe all-star. He gets close kind of every year, but not enough to really get in there. So you're not going to call him an all-star player. And their logic on this to me was it takes some dead money off of the Pelicans' money they're not using. Ajinsa's getting $5 million a year, not playing. Quincy Pondexter's not playing because of the injury stuff. But frankly, those two aren't the cap-killing contracts that I am too worried about. Now, if it was Taj Gibson for Omer Asik and the first-round pick, top 10 protected, I might listen. But for that deal, for Gibson, for those two and the first-round pick, going to have to say no there. And then I got an email from Charlotte, and this was the intriguing one. And don't forget, these are random people that I don't know personally, you know, who are looking out for the best interests of trying to improve their team and trying to say they won at the trade deadline. But, you know, all of a sudden, Charlotte reaches out, and we've been emailing back and forth, and they were interested. They wanted to know if I was interested in offloading Omer Asik. So, you know, the immediate reaction to that is, oh, hell yeah, while jumping up and down. So I said it'd be something along the lines of Asik to the Hornets, and they have both Spencer Hawes, who's making about $6.3 million a year for this year and next year, and then Roy Hibbert, who's making $5 million. So your salaries are starting to add up right there. And either getting both of those back in return for Asik, and then Hibbert expires, you save $5 million, and then basically it becomes a Hawes for Asik deal, which saves the Pels about $3.6 million this year, closer to $3.8 next year, and basically gets a little bit better after that every year. But they wanted a pick swap in there. So basically it's not, Pels would keep a first-round pick, but the Hornets would have the choice of the higher of the two. So whichever is higher, the Pels or the Hornets, they would get. Which, even at the worst, is probably going to leave the Pelicans if they were to do that deal. Say it's just Hawes and Hibbert straight up for Asik and a pick swap for them to take on that long-term money. And it sounds like they need an extra big there a little bit who could probably help with defense and rebounding. But that pick swap, you're still going to have a mid-first-round pick. Might not be in the lottery. Might, though. They could still fall out of the playoffs. So I'm seriously considering that. Now, I'd like to not take on that Spencer Hawes deal. So I'd said, you know, once thinking about it, basically, you know, with the most likely you'd need to get a third team in to take on the salary. And there's a few teams that have salary cap room that can help facilitate deals. You need to give them something to do that, but they would certainly be willing. And there's a few teams that need to reach the salary floor. And it's cheaper to do that by signing a guy around the trade deadline than it would be just to eat the money and have to pay out the difference. So, you know, I said I need to think about the pick swap or giving up the first round pick. And I basically said it'd have to be a swap. I wouldn't be interested in it otherwise. And I said, thing you'd have to look at is basically the Pels save $3.6 million in that trade if they keep Hawes and Hibbert just expires. And a pick swap to save $3.6 million is a little high, especially because the Pelicans could stretch Omer Asik. And this is something that's been thrown out here and there, but not a ton. The way the stretch provision works, this was granted in the old, when they redid the CBA in, what, 2011? Yeah, 2011. And basically, you take the guy, and the Pels would do this coming offseason. You take the number of years he has remaining on the contract. In this case, it would be three, with the final year not guaranteed for the full money. But you take the few years left on the contract, you multiply it by two and add one. So seven is what it would be. You'd spread Omer Asik's cap hit for the rest of this contract over 7 years instead of the three. He's about $24, $25 million over the next 3 years. Spread that over seven, saves you a lot more money against the salary cap, especially if you're going to spend that money. So rather than trying to save $3.6 million and giving up a first-round pick, you could stretch him and save more. And the savings would then, just by stretching him, $7 to $8 million is what you're saving then, just by stretching him. So, and, you know, the team that gets him could also stretch him and just pay him out. Not that they would necessarily want to do that. So they asked me, said, would, if the other team, if we brought in a third team and they're the one that takes on Spencer Hawes, would I be interested then? And I, would that make a difference? And I said, yeah, tremendously. So if the Pels move Omer Asik, have to take back Roy Hibbert, wouldn't be the worst person to necessarily pair in the front, though not necessarily ideal. But, you know, you bring a Hibbert back and all of a sudden that's your front court. Sorry, I spaced out for a second there. You do the pick swap, so you still have a mid-first-round pick. And all of a sudden, you're saving a lot of money. That $7, $8 million saved all of a sudden jumps to like $13 million or so for the Pels saved and with the salary cap. That's big if you want to try to make a move this offseason for someone. Or if you then spin that first-round pick that you still have, the mid-first, and need to re-sign the guy you trade for. Now you're starting to see my thinking here. So we're looking into that. Nothing's come of it just yet. It's the first day. Few trades have been made. The Heat have gone full on Sam Hinkie and tanking. The Pels also have filled their they have Minnesota's second round pick that should, as long as it's not, or it's owed to Minnesota, but it's protected. As long as it doesn't fall in the bottom five of the draft, which it certainly won't with the way the Pels are playing now, you'd need to basically win the finals for that to happen. So they're going to have two second-round picks. They have that one, and they have Philly's. Philly should be a decent second-round pick, or, you know, probably top 10 in that, unless they somehow sneak into the playoffs. Those are two assets, though, to be used to help facilitate deals. It's not necessarily that, you know, those two picks have value, but if I'm asking someone to take on Spencer Hawes and you toss him a second-round pick, that all of a sudden becomes a little bit more intriguing, especially to a team like Brooklyn who needs picks. Because they traded him all away. So it's an option in things I'm looking at with this team. The other guy I might be interested in trading for is Vucevic over in Orlando. You know, you move a top 10 protected first round pick for him. Even, you know, he's under contract. He's had a bad shooting year. But he's a guy I've mentioned on here before. I'm going to talk about a little bit later on in the week if a deal potentially gets done. But if you can spin even Tyreek Evans for him, I think that's a good situation. You upgrade your front court scoring. He's okay enough on defense. There's potential there to all of a sudden have cap flexibility while adding a contributor as well. Whether or not I'm going to be able to get a deal done, I do not know. Just like Dell Demps doesn't know he's going to be able to get a deal done. But this has certainly been an interesting exercise in trying to think like a general manager. So the game tonight, the Toronto Raptors, right now third best team in the Eastern Conference with a record of, I just lost it, 29-19. Although they are in a bit of a bad stretch for them, losers of six of their last seven. You know, this is a winnable game in that sense for the Pelicans. They're not particularly great defensively. They rank 20th in defensive rating. Very good offensively, so the Pelicans need to be sharp on the defensive side of the court. And then, you know, pace there a little bit slower. So the Pelicans, if they get out and run, might be able to throw off the game plan of the Toronto Raptors. Though, again, with this Pelicans team, you just never know who you're going to get. Alvin Gentry said this seems like this team has multiple personality disorder. The other day he said, I don't know which team's going to show up and play. Not what you want out of the head coach, but hey, it goes to show you it's so tough to try and predict. You know, what this team's going to do. So while Toronto is good offensively, like I said, they've been struggling recently. They've been shooting poorly in this funk they've been in. And, you know, again, force them into bad jumpers maybe, and you have a chance to seal this game on the road. And especially if you just never know what Pels team you're getting. It's like making this preview impossible to do. But if I had to give one key to a game, it's that Toronto isn't a very good defensive rebounding team. And you guys know I like the small ball lineup with the Pelicans, but this is a game where I actually think they should go a little bit bigger. And that's not to match up with a tall Toronto team or anything like that. It's to take advantage of a weakness in the fact that this team, Toronto, ranks 28 in defensive rebounding percentage. Front court of Anthony Davis, Terrence Jones, and Donatas Mata-Unis should be able to grab a lot of offensive rebounds and get some second chance points. So if this Pels team is missing or they're not shooting particularly well, yeah, you should be able to get the ball back at least on a chunk of those possessions, get some easy putbacks, or at least reset the offense. Mati Yunus did a very good job of that the other night in the win against the Spurs, where if he got an offensive rebound, rather than trying to go up and have three people contest him, he kicked the ball out and reset it, and the Pels just had a whole whole new possession to work the baller in and try and get a good shot. I think that's basically how they can win this game. Try and get in there, get those offensive rebounds, force this Toronto team into bad shots unless they get out of their funk of everything, which not really expecting them to do. So that's a good thing. Pels have a chance to win this. It's going to be a bit tough. They do need to be sharp defensively, which is not what they were against the Wizards. But hey, this is why you play the games, and we'll find out whether they can win, across the border. So that's going to be it for Locked On Pelicans. Enjoy the game tonight. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow, 6 a.m., same time, every time. Don't forget to give me a follow on Twitter. It's at NolaJake. Follow the podcast. It's at Locked On Pels. Rest of the week, we'll talk more fake trades in the GM experiment I'm doing with everyone else. It's been pretty fun. I'm sure it's probably intriguing to hear the mindset. Let me know if you thought the priorities I have for this team are right. Of the deals I told you I'm doing, do you like any? Do you not like them? Let's try and get some feedback. I don't mind crowdsourcing a little bit of the ideas here as well. So let me know again, at NolaJake, at Locked On Pels. So thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison, and I'll be back with you guys tomorrow.